Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
All right. Well, that was just a quiet response. Thank y'all very much. Yes. So look, here's the big announcement I have this morning is Andy Coward's not here. Choir's on mission up in Amarillo. And so guess what? Next Sunday, they're going to be doing worship for us. So they're in mission and ministry in Amarillo this morning. And so I want y'all to bring friends and come back next week and enjoy what they're doing for, I think it's First Methodist Church Canyon this morning, that they'll come back and do that for us this week. All right. Okay, look, I am glad that y'all are here. I'm glad that you're watching from home this morning. It's kind of a new Christian song. In fact, I think it's probably 4 or 5 years old now. It's just called Surrounded. How old would that be? 5 years? So Surrounded goes like this. It may look like I'm surrounded, right? That the enemies, the obstacles, the whoever's out to cause harm. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And I love that song because in my own mind, I see it's almost like little army men and they're in the attack mode and you see them all coming and all these things coming to get us, right? But on the horizon, in a much larger, grander, eternal view, is God Himself, His arms open wide. And we may look like we're surrounded, right? But we're surrounded by Him. And maybe the other way I see it is, here we are, and here comes all the artillery shots and the cannons and the bullets are coming in, and it looks like we're under attack, and it may look like we're surrounded, but we're surrounded by Him. And that God Himself is present with us this very morning to surround us with His love, His grace, and the presence of His Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you guys for leading us in worship. Y'all stay standing. Please hear and receive God's word. This is from Galatians chapter 5. So I say, live by the Spirit. And if you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, the desires of the flesh. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. It's not about do's and don'ts and not stopping at this sign or going at this light. This is, if you just live by the Spirit, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Lord Jesus, this morning, let your word be true in us, be real in us, be alive in us. Lord, we ask for you to come and speak and move and work. Holy Spirit, we don't want to just talk about the fruit, your fruit. Lord, this morning, we want that fruit to be made real in every person here. In your name, Lord, you come and you do as you desire in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can be seated. So a couple of things I know to be true as we spend the next few weeks talking about what it means to be a Christ-centered neighbor. First, before your neighbors are going to care about what you have to say, they have to know that you care. And before your neighbors know that you care, they have to actually know that you know their names. And before you know their names, you have to make an intentional move toward relationship with them. You have to make the choice to engage. You have to make the choice to care. You have to make the choice to make a difference in this world for Jesus. So second thing I know about being a Christ-centered neighbor is that your neighbors, your neighbors are going to be open about Jesus making a difference in their lives only after they see Jesus making a difference in yours. I mean, is your life really any different? Is your life, you know, that you claim to be in Christ, is your life any better off because you have Jesus? Is there something going on in your life that is captivating, compelling, convincing about who Jesus is in you? I mean, is Galatians 5, 22 and 23 really real in you? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those things of Jesus really alive in your life. So late Friday afternoon, I had the privilege of receiving an email from one of our members. In the email, she had written it to her Sunday school class. And in that letter and in that person, I clearly saw in the letter, and I see in her the fruit of God's Spirit. There used to be an old show called Dragnet. In Dragnet, they would say, the names have been changed to protect the innocent. Well, this morning, I'm not sharing names. I'm not doing that to protect the innocent. I'm doing that to protect the righteous. And so, anyway, she says, dear precious friends, first, we want to thank you for your continued prayers for us. God was with us this week amidst the good times and the not so good. And we know that is because you joined your hearts with ours in asking him to be present. What a mighty force prayer is, she says, and what a privilege prayer is. She said it was a busy week and a lot was accomplished, but we were disappointed that the procedure I was to have on Wednesday could not be completed as planned. And no details here. I just want to say that instead of a planned preparatory surgery for healing, there was yet an additional biopsy that was done instead. It's just been an ongoing battle now for years. So, she says, all we can do at this point and ask you to do on our behalf is to pray. First, pray that God would heal me as he desires. Second, pray for wisdom for all the doctors involved and for God's plan to be revealed to all of us. Then she says, I love this. She says, if you have any extra prayer time, please pray that we will seek to glorify God in everything we do and say through all of this. That we will seek him. Seek him daily for answers. Seek him daily for strength, daily for comfort and peace. And let's don't forget, she says, J-O-Y. Let's not forget joy. That's one of my favorites, she says. One of the nurses was having some trouble getting something to come on the computer right before I went to sleep under anesthesia. And she apologized for the delay. And I told her, no, it's okay. That I was singing in my head all the hymns I could remember because that brings me J-O-Y, joy. She smiled and said, well, that's a good thing to do. And our sister here at St. Luke, she said, yes, it is. It is a good thing. She says, we love you and we're praying for J-O-Y, joy, down in your hearts too. Blessings to all. You know what? I don't know about you, but I want to be like her when I grow up. I want that kind of joy and that kind of purpose and that kind of presence to be what defines my life. So there are two issues, y'all, facing all of us here this morning. First issue is, what kind of fruit is on our tree? I mean, when folks see us and they come, you know, to pick fruit from our tree, what kind of fruit are they picking? Do we have all that fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? Do we have that Jesus fruit growing on our tree? The second issue is, are you sharing that fruit with your neighbors, with others. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think one of the saddest things in the world is a peach tree or an apricot tree loaded down with fruit and nobody gets to eat it, right? And nobody gets to eat it because the owners of the tree just keep it to themselves and they let it rot. You can have all the fruit in the world, but is that fruit making a darn bit of difference for others? I hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it. When you have a vegetable garden that goes to waste. There were a couple of times in our old house where we lived where our garden just flat out had this humongous crop. I mean, it was unbelievable. So every Sunday, I would load the back of our minivan and I would just load it up with whatever we had. Squash, tomatoes, green peppers. And one year, for whatever reason, we misplanted pumpkins. Instead of having one, we had hundreds and hundreds of pounds of pumpkins. Anyway, I just bring that up here and put it in the foyer and folks would always take it home. That's the way it ought to be. Crops, physical and spiritual. Fruit, physical and spiritual, is not meant to be hoarded and kept to ourselves. It's meant to be given away, shared, so people can reap what God is doing in us and also experience what God wants to do through us. You see, one of the real challenges facing American Christianity is that we've let our relationship with God be all about me and Jesus. Y'all remember the old song, "Me and Jesus"? We got our own thing going, me and Jesus. We got it all worked out. You know what? Me and Jesus has never supposed to have been and never will supposed to be only about me and Jesus. We believe in spiritual holiness and social holiness. Right relationship with God has everything to do with right relationships with each other. We believe that as surely as God has loved us, we are also to love others. Bottom line is that when God loves us, when God fills us with His Spirit, when God fruitifies our tree, then we will begin to share that love, that fruit with others. I mean, y'all, if it is not being shared this way, there is something missing this way. Following and loving Jesus has never been a either or. It's always supposed to be a both and. Receiving His love, sharing His love. You know, His Holy Spirit being poured out into us, but also poured out through us. So this morning, three essential choices that we have to make to be the Christ-centered neighbors that He is calling us to be. First, we have to choose which tree. Choose which tree we're going to be. Are we going to live according to the flesh or according to the Spirit? According to the fallen patterns of this world or according to the purpose and presence of Jesus made real in our lives? Now the list, it seems pretty clear to me which we want to be, but just in case, let's look at the list again. This is Galatians 5, 19 through 21. All right, list A, if you will. Now, the works of the flesh, right, the works of the sinful nature are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, where I'm just trying to, you know, get my pleasure, get my buzz out of life. Idolatry. Idolatry is when anything is put before God in our lives. Anything, right? Family. Money, jobs, all the extracurricular things we do. When anything is put before God in our lives, that's idolatry. Sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions. We don't know anything about that in America, right? Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. List one, list A. All right, now list B, list two, Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. All right, your turn. You get to choose. Seems like a no-brainer to me. But y'all, if you're watching politicized news 24/7, or if modern-day media and movies and Netflix and Prime are your primary go-tos, the lines between the flesh and the spirit can easily get blurred. And what we want in our heart of hearts has sometimes been so watered down or contaminated that we're not clear about which tree we want. Spirit tree, flesh tree. Do we want, dissension or kindness? Do we want sensuality, man, feeling good and taking care of our desires? Or do we want goodness? Do we want idolatry and all the things this world wants? Or do we want faithfulness? Y'all, which tree? Choose this morning. What kind of tree do you want to be? What kind of fruit do you want to bear? Man, you got to start there. If you want to be the kind of neighbor that God wants you to be, you got to decide what kind of tree you're going to be first, okay? Second truth, to be a Christ-centered neighbor, we have to choose our source. The flesh tree is rooted in self, rooted and centered in me. The flesh tree is all about me doing what I want to do when I want to do it. The flesh tree is all about, man, it's my way or the highway. But the spirit tree is rooted in the very Holy Spirit of Jesus himself coming and taking up residence and presence in us. If we really did a study on these nine fruits of the Spirit, you know what we'd find out? We would come to understand that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All of those are just characteristics of Jesus himself. So the more of Jesus that you have, or maybe better said, the more of you that Jesus has, the more these fruits of the Spirit will define and direct who you are. Left to our natural inclinations, we will always drift to the works of the flesh. But when we choose to place our lives into the supernatural hands of God's Spirit, then we will flourish and that fruit will bloom. I did a wedding a couple of weeks ago, and I contrasted the world's view of love with God's love. The world's view of love is something that happens accidentally, you know. We fall into it, right? The world's view of love can be here today and gone tomorrow. It's not forever. It's conditional. The love of the world is something that just happens naturally to us and for us. I mean, there's an old country song that was a major hit back in the 90s by a singer named Susie Boggess. And the name of the song was Outbound Plane. Anybody remember this song? Okay, yeah, good. We'll pray for you later. Okay, all right. But because here's the major line in the main idea, all right? The major line in the main idea is, you know, if love, you know, if love won't fly on its own free will, I'm going to catch that outbound plane. In other words, if love doesn't just happen, I'm out of here. If I have to work too hard, it's not worth it. I'm gone. Bullcorn. The only way that love will last and grow and deepen in our marriage is if we let the supernatural love and presence of God take over and call the shots. That kind of surrender, yes, it is work. That kind of surrender is not easy, but y'all, that kind of surrender is how we become the spiritual fruit trees that bear the fruit that God desires. You can go to that next slide, Ken, because Susie was looking pretty cool there. But it was really fuzzy. Sorry, that's the only one I could find. Anyway, please don't mishear me this morning. These spiritual fruit are not a 9-point spiritual to-do list where, you know, I write all 9 down and I write, you know, one real short sentence about what I'm going to do to be loving or what I'm going to do to be joyful or what I'm going to do to be kind. It's not something that I do. The fruit of the Spirit is not something I accomplish, but rather the fruit of the Spirit is about our surrender to God's Spirit. Thus, it's all about something that He does in us and through us for others. Now, in my own life, I do use those 9 fruit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, as an evaluative tool. I kind of take a spiritual inventory. So when I haven't been kind or joyful or patient, which never happens, right, Janie? Especially when I'm driving. When I haven't been kind or joyful or patient, it gives me clear indicators where I've been trusting in self rather than giving myself fully to Him. You know, it gives me this indicators or indication where I've been living in my own strength rather than depending on His Holy Spirit. Indicators where I've let my life be all about me instead of all about Him. Let Jesus be the source for your life. Surrender yourself. Give yourself to Him. Surrender is not about, do I have the Holy Spirit? But does the Holy Spirit have me? I am His soil. He is the master farmer. I belong to Him. I am His dirt to do with as He desires. He's tilling my soil and He's weeding my soil and He's fertilizing my soil. Yes, praise God. Hopefully He's pouring down His heavenly rain and presence into my soil. He's planting His seeds. He's growing and nurturing His crop. He's doing His work as only He can do. Until maybe, just maybe, there's this beautiful, tasty, purposeful, beneficial fruit that's always getting ripe on my tree. Is He your source for life? Do you plant yourself, abide yourself in Him, and allow Him to plant Himself and abide Himself in you? Are you the dirt of the master gardener, the master farmer? Finally, this morning, if we're going to be the neighbor that Jesus wants us to be, we have to choose our dancing partner. Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep. Let us also keep in step with the Spirit. The wedding we had a couple of weeks ago, Janie and I got to dance. We love to dance. We dance at all the weddings we get to go to. We danced at the EXO conference. We love to dance. And let me just tell you, I'm not any kind of dancer. You just saw what I could do. That's it. Right? I mean, you just saw the two-step, right? And maybe I can get a little turn in there. And Janie dances with me and I will dance with her until I can't dance anymore. And I would just say that God wants us to dance with Him. And He's a dancer. He can twirl you, man. I mean, He can lift you up. He can dip you low. I mean, He's the ultimate dancer. If you will let Him lead you, He will use you to change this world. Guys, you got to dance with the one who brought you. And the one who brought you is the one who created you. And He's the one who died for you. And He's the one who rose for you. And He's the one who ascended into heaven for you. And He's the one who poured His Holy Spirit into you. Dance with Him. And it will be the most beautiful, wonderful dance you've ever danced. Dance with Him. Follow His lead. And He will literally use you to change this world. Jenny and I got to see a movie this week on the plane ride to Nashville. And y'all know this one, A Man Called Otto. How many of you have seen it? About 12 of us, I see. So, you know what? Look, it's Tom Hanks. I think it's going to be a fun time. Man, this movie was heavy for me. I mean, here's a guy who was so hurt. He so loved his wife, and he served her. He gave, I mean, he didn't have a purpose. When she was gone, man, he was gone. And he, you know, he's a funny guy. He's a very, you know, straightforward, structured kind of guy. You know, he almost compulsively, you know. And in this guy's life, whose life was empty and over, came some neighbors. And those neighbors began to make a difference in him, and he began to make a difference in them. In this community that time had passed by, that culture didn't know how to embrace, and they didn't know how to embrace, because this whole neighborhood has changed because they were willing. Nothing about Jesus specifically in this story, but this neighborhood became a place where people knew that they were loved. God's calling us. This world needs it. Look, we've been pushed into isolation by COVID. We've been pushed into isolation by our divisiveness. We've been pushed into isolation by culture, which lets us have everything in the closed, you know, rooms of our own house. But you know what people will still always need? Somebody like you, like me, to love them like Jesus loves them. All right, this morning, I'm going to ask Bear and Carol to come up. Y'all, this was, in case you weren't here last week, and I do ask you to get one of these. This is our homework during this sermon series. And all it is you are here. It's got these eight boxes around, and you're just supposed to put the names, the actual names of your neighbors, and supposed to start praying for them. So as soon as we started thinking about this sermon series, and we talked about this, Bear and Carol were the first people I thought of, because for them, this was not a theoretical practice. This was a day-to-day reality. So thank y'all, and I just want you to tell a little bit about how y'all engage and connect with your neighbors, or maybe why you engage and connect.
You know, it really started about 18 years ago. We had a dump dog in the neighborhood came walking into our backyard one day, this beautiful border collie Australian Shepherd mix. And so, and we took her to the vet. We couldn't find the owner. We took her to the vet, and the vet said, "This is a great dog, but you are really going to have to exercise this dog or she will eat your house." And she did, yeah. So we would start taking her out for walks once or twice a day. And what we found is that taking this dog for a walk, she was so beautiful and so personable that all of a sudden people started coming up to us, and kids would just flock over. And so they'd ask, "What's the dog's name?" And I would say, "Seek." S-E-E-K, only I didn't enunciate very well. And people would go, "Oh, hi, Zeke," Z-E-E-K. And so I'd clarify, I'd say, "Well, it's seek, like seek and ye shall find, and knock and the door will be opened." Mm-hmm. And from the Bible. And so just in saying that and getting to know our neighbors as we walked the dog, we became known as people who seemed to know something about Jesus or about church, and we really saw that as an open door to begin really getting to know our neighbors in a way we never had before. And then we kind of tied a bow on it a little bit by saying, "Hey, listen, we're out praying for the neighborhood today. Andy, how can we pray for you today?" And that's really when it started. It started living in Midland. And so when we moved to Lubbock, in 2011, 2012, we really worked to continue that and to just continue to be intentional.
I was just going to say, so just a simple thing of walking your dog and having a dog named Seek created a conversation that at least was open to possibly spiritual things. Yeah.
Well, okay, so from there, then we moved to Lubbock, and we ended up on a cul-de-sac, and there were 14 children when we moved in on this cul-de-sac. And so this is ancient, it's about 11 years old, but here's my cul-de-sac.
I'm going to hold it up so if the camera guys, can y'all can zoom in, but y'all see, this is just, all this is just their neighbors, and then Carol can tell you how she's organized this, but she didn't do this because we held up a sheet one Sunday morning. She did this because God told her to do it.
And also because we're terrible at remembering
names. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I'm not good with names. And you know, before long, you had the parents, and then you had the children, and then before long they wanted to tell you about their pets because they're looking at your pet. And so anyway, so I'd write all that stuff down. I also have their house numbers, and you know, with some of them you became friendly enough, you did cards and things. So even though we were on the same block, I'll mail them a card every now and then. But that's what it was. And if somebody moves, then I usually will write the new family up above it, but we still try to keep up with our old neighbors also.
Oh, it's just so, I mean, it's kind of simple, but it's also really profound, is that people are never going to know that you care about them. I mean, if you don't even know their name,
yes, right? Yeah. Well, and Seek passed away in December. We had had her for 18 years, and she was a wonderful dog to take for a walk. But it has been a little bit different, and people have said, oh, we don't see you out as much. Of course, I've been kind of grateful with winter not to have to get out every night. But now that spring's here, some of the neighbors will get out and plant flowers, and you'll go over and you'll see them. And most of them already know them, so it's easy to go up to them. But that's how it originally started. The other thing, too, we kind of learned from Midland was I did ask the realtor to help us find a house where the garages were in the front instead of in the back, because that can be a little more challenging to meet your neighbors if they instantly drive into the back and they never are in the front yard or in the front of their house. So we also did that intentionally. The other thing, though, I would say is it's a journey. It is a journey. You need to pray that the Lord would go before you and help you to meet the right people at the right time and give you the right words. And so I would start there, because what works for you may look totally different. And I even know we took one of the sacks for visitors this last week. And so we went to a retirement community. And so when we get to her house, I mean, she's got friends there, and they are sharing a food basket, and they're dividing it all up, and they're just having a good time. But, you know, that's getting to know her neighbors. That's doing the same thing.
Prayer and availability, right?
Yes, and making time. You know, when you walk out that front door, it isn't all just about the list you got in your head. You need to be available. If you look down the street and you see somebody out, say hi, and if they look a little distressed, going over and saying, hey, what's going on?
The person that you're talking about that you went to her house and she had the food, she's not here. We can talk bad about her. But when she shared the story, she said, you know, she went to the food bank. She was going to buy, and she just felt led to buy extra. And she came home, so I understand that the way this turned out is that, you know, they spread the word to their prayer group in their neighborhood, you know, come and get whatever you want. But there was this one person who had just moved in, who didn't have access to food, didn't have access to go to the grocery store. She was literally not eating. Yeah. And so that food became a lifeline to her.
And they were having... It was a party when I went over there. I'm just saying they were having a good time.
You know, let me just mention that one of the things that in Luke 8, when it talks about the sower and the seed, you see that it says a farmer went out to plant seeds. There's intentionality there. And so what we've done in our lives is just really try and be intentional. Lord, this day is not about our agenda and asking you to bless our agenda. Lord, this day is the day we follow you and we find out where you would have us to go. And I think wherever people are in life and whatever their situation is, if we just start that way, God, this day doesn't belong to me. This day belongs to you. And I want to be intentional about spreading what you've shared with me.
So you had to get off the couch. You had to open the door. You had to step out in the driveway and you had to go up and down the street.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
and John 18:4, I think it is, says, it's referring to Jesus, and he knew what he was going to have to do on the cross, and it said he stepped into it. Mm. You have to step in to what God's calling you to do.
Come on, praise God.
But when you do, he shows up.
Yeah.
And I would say that the other thing, besides, you do need to do the prayer every day. You consciously agree you're going to be planting seeds as you go out that day. But it needs to be a lifestyle, not an event.
Right.
Just
this is who you are. Yeah.
Enjoy the life that the Lord's given you and the people he's put in your life, even those that just kind of show up down the street.
And Pastor, can I brag on Carol? Because a few years ago, as most of y'all know, our son-in-law Cody had leukemia, and he spent a really extended period of time at MD Anderson. Well, suddenly Carol is watching the kids down there in Houston. Her neighborhood completely changed. Suddenly her neighbors weren't the people in our cul-de-sac. It was the other cancer victims and the other families of the cancer victims. So Carol suddenly started saying, how can I minister to these, my neighbors at MD Anderson? Mm-hmm. And so one of the unmet needs that she saw and that our daughter Sarah saw is that if you're staying there, There are washing machines on some of the floors, but you have to pay for them, and it gets really, really expensive. So what Carol started doing is she started collecting rolls of quarters and laundry soap, and leaving rolls of quarters and laundry soap in the laundry rooms at MD Anderson. Mm. And because you'd see people who had been wearing the same clothes for a long time because they didn't have money to wash their clothes. And for Carol to say, well, you can go today and you can do it and it's not going to cost you anything.
Yeah, right.
So one of the things, I'm so honored to be married to Carol, is that whoever my neighbor is today, that's who I'm going to minister to.
That's my neighbor. I don't have any rolls of quarters or how many bags of soap or how many casseroles or how many dozen cookies or how many kids y'all had over at your house. But I just know that the way y'all have loved and ministered to your neighborhood has been spiritual, but it's also been very practical. It's also been very tangible. Maybe that's a better way. Okay, look. We got time for one more question. Can you share just one story of maybe where in relationship with your, I know there's been stories that maybe haven't worked so well, but one story of where what you've done and how you've loved your neighbors has actually made an eternal difference in their lives.
I want to say one thing before he starts the story, though. I don't know what story it's going to be, but you mentioned struggle. So I will say this, that's why I think you spread lots of seed, because every once in a while it doesn't work out.
Yeah,
you
right.
know. And so, but if you're doing it all the time and it's just who you are, you and God, this is what we do. When that one or two things happens every now and then, it rolls off your back a lot easier than if it's like, well, okay, I'm going to try this one time, and if this doesn't work, don't just plant one seed. Uh-huh. Just make it the way you live, and then that way. And it's also the same way we mentioned the lady earlier when I took the sack by. It's an encouragement to each other. I know a lot of you are doing things that share Jesus, and it's encouraging to us to hear those stories, and I hope it's encouraging for you to hear our stories too.
Yeah.
So when we lived in Midland, we had some people who moved in across the street, and so the long story short is they had met Sikh, and so they knew we were Christians. Well, one of them was kind of a nominal Catholic but hadn't been to church in years. The other had grown up for a while, Jehovah's Witness, and was now just confused. And so they came over one day, and they said, listen, the people that lived in this house before us, were they okay? Were they good people? And I said, well, yeah, why do you ask? And so, well, we just feel like there's some like weird spirit in this house. Like there's something kind of nefarious. And we're trying to figure out if we need to like call a priest or get a preacher. And because we think there may be like an evil spirit in this house. There's something really creepy and we don't know what to do. And you guys seem like religious people, so maybe you would know. I said, well, listen, you can call a priest, you can call a preacher, but the fact is that greater is he who is in us than he who's in the world. So if there's something evil in that house, let's go right now and let's get it taken care of. And he went, you can do that? I said, yeah. Yeah, we can do that. So we walked over right then and there. They opened the door to their house. We stepped inside and we said, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that anything here that is not of you will be cast out right now. And Lord, we also pray and we claim that this house and the people who live in it, right, they belong to you in the name of Jesus. Well, long story short, these people end up asking us questions all the time about Christianity and what it means. And so they end up coming to church with us. They end up giving their hearts to Jesus. And they ended up now, 15 years later, they are traveling all over the world representing Jesus, doing mission trips, because one day something really kind of weird and peculiar happened that would have been easy to go, I don't know what that's about, but I don't want anything to do with that. Mm. Instead, just leaning in and saying, Lord Jesus, this is kind of different, but would you use this to change eternity?
Amen. Y'all, we're not all Baron Carroll, right? But we are the neighbors that God has created us to be. Go and let Jesus make a difference in you and through you. Bill Eaton, how many seeds did you plant in that garden you just planted? Was it just one seed? Hundreds. Y'all, sow. Be sowers for Jesus. Y'all, we're not going to sing. We went too long. We're going to quit. But I may not know my math or know dogs right, but I thought one dog year is 7 human years. Seek 126 years. Am I doing my math?
She take our cat before that lived 24 years.
Okay. 20.
Yeah.
Why same cat? So
she, yeah.
Okay,
she does a great job.
Y'all, let's stand together. Join hands this morning. Lord Jesus, we are holding hands with people that we know love us, and we are so thankful for that, God. And we know that there are people living in our neighborhoods that they don't know if anybody loves them. Lord, let us be your hands, your feet, your smile, your hugs, your love, your grace, your presence for those that need you so much right now. Thank you for every person here, God. It's not by accident they were here on this neighborhood talk. Lord, you want to change this city by changing us. In your name we pray, amen. Bless y'all. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.